Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, January 27th. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun Marketing and Events Coordinator Christina Pritchett and Colorado Sun Environmental Reporter Michael Booth about the upcoming vertical gardening event. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun's inaugural Best of the Colorado Sun is officially open for voting. Vote for your favorite businesses and people across the state now through February 28th. You can cast your vote once per region. Visit coloradosun.com/bestof to vote today. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. President Thomas Jefferson, who approved the Louisiana Purchase in 1803 and sent 5 expeditions into it to learn about what he had bought, received a tantalizing letter from one Anthony Bate written on this date in 1808. Bate told Jefferson about lucrative silver deposits along the Upper Platte River in the central Rocky Mountains in the heart of modern Colorado. Bate claimed to have spent 3 years in the Rockies and to have found, quote, an immense bed of rich silver ore on an upper tributary of the Platte River 1,700 miles from St. Louis. He offered to lead a federal survey team there in exchange for 1% of its profits for 75 years. Bate informed Jefferson of another discovery that appealed to the president, who sought an easy route across North America. Quote, I have likewise discovered an eligible passage across that chain of mountains dividing the waters of the Atlantic from those of the Pacific, by way of the River Platte and Cashicatrango River, a large navigable river of the Pacific. Bate also promised to send a few seeds of silk nettle, a useful plant for manufacturing that he found along the mysterious Cashicatrango. In a response on February 18th, Jefferson promised Bate a share of the silver ore, but cautioned that tensions with Spain would delay its extraction. Their interaction ended there. Bate never wrote Jefferson back or mailed the seeds. Whether Bate ever actually traveled beyond his home in southwestern Pennsylvania, or simply passed along rumors he heard from others, remains unknown, as does his life in general. Was he a fraud? An opportunist? A genuine altruist who wanted only to see his country prosper? No one seems to know. It is certain that Spain worried about American interlopers searching the Rockies for precious minerals as early as 1796. The north and south branches of the Platte River both head in Colorado, in Jackson and Park counties respectively, but those headwaters stand far from an eligible passage of the Continental Divide. Bate was right about one thing by the century's end: silver proved to be Colorado's essential mineral. Before we continue, a quick message. The Colorado Sun presents The Next Food Revolution: Growing Greens in the Air with environment reporter Michael Booth. Join the virtual event on February 9th to hear how a company is using a storage container to grow crops, how CU Boulder is growing greens in a sunroom, and much more. Register for the free event at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Sun Up podcast. Happy Friday. My name is Christina Pritchett, and I'm the Marketing and Events Coordinator. I'll be on the podcast once a month or so on Fridays talking to you all about the Colorado Sun's events. Today, I'm super excited to have the Colorado Sun environment reporter Michael Booth with me. I know you were just on the podcast, so I appreciate you returning to the recording space to talk to me today. How are you?
Doing great, Christina. Thanks. Hope people aren't sick of us yet, but we're really enthused about this one, and it's going to be a really fun event. So we're happy to tell people more about it so they can sign up.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I know you gave a little sneak peek on the podcast with John Ingold, but I want to get a little bit more into it today. And as I said, I'm excited, and I think our listeners would be really interested to hear more about it. So let's just get into it. As you said, we have our event, The Next Food Revolution, Growing Greens in the Air, which will be held virtually on February 9th at 6 p.m. So what can you tell us about the event, and what can people expect to see and hear about?
I think one of the reasons that people are responding to this is, there's a number of factors. One, the weather. Everybody loves when it's freezing outside. Everybody loves a good warm greenhouse and the idea of growing things and thinking about their spring gardens and this revolution that's going on in how people are growing things indoors, growing them vertically, growing them in the air with very small amounts of water is fascinating to people. So, and the businesses that we're getting involved with for the panel is just a fascinating group of people. So we're happy to describe that too. And just to remind people again, it's free, free, free. You just have to sign up for the link. And we've got a lot of people signed up already. We encourage more people to sign up. We have a lot of space virtually, but it's not in an infinite amount of space. So we'd like people to get in there early and make sure that they can get the link. So on February 9th, we're going to be talking virtually with three people who are involved in this vertical urban gardening business that's growing very quickly in Colorado and across the country. One of our panelists is Sally Herbert, who's a real boss in this business, former U.S. Air Force Reserve vet, managed a bunch of other companies and was a real executive powerhouse, and then decided to start this indoor gardening company called Altius Farms. And they now grow a large number of greens in a commercial setting in Denver and sell to restaurants and are available to sell to grocery stores and other users. And it's just a beautiful setup when you see pictures of them online and in other media. And she's going to be talking to us about sort of the commercial aspects of it and what they will all be talking about, what change in the technology that has made this possible now, this revolution in how people are growing things and the revolution in both farming and gardening. So she's one of our key people. Another key person is Nick Millisore. And we'll talk a little bit more about him in a minute, but he is one of the forces behind Euler's Garden, which is growing greens in the middle of winter in two shipping container trailers in the parking lot of a former used car lot on South Broadway, just off South Broadway. And they are using this technology to grow vertical greens. And we were able to take a tour of the place and snipped off a couple of plants and tasted some delicious basil and some delicious other greens that they are now selling both as restaurant goods and in community shares to the public who can sign up for that. And he's going to tell us what prompted them to drop whatever they were doing in their lives and start that business and how it works, you know, on a small scale. And our third panelist that I think people would really be interested in is Alex McMillan, who runs the indoor urban garden that is just off the dining halls at CU Boulder. And so there is a vertical garden growing beautiful greens that's the size of a large house, almost 3,000 square feet, right off the dining halls. And Alex manages that. And they literally snip off the greens and throw them into the salad bar for CU Boulder students and faculty and staff. And so he does it as both an addition to their food operation, but also as a way to demonstrate. And I believe that they bring in students in different disciplines who are interested in both the business side of it and the agriculture side of it to tour and demonstrate how this can work. So it's a teaching tool as well as a very practical addition to their dining halls there. So we're really excited about that. And another thing that people will see if they show up on February 9th to our Zoom is we're going to have Nick, who runs the shipping container gardens, show us live online with, I don't know how he's going to do it. We're going to work that out with his tablet or with his iPhone, kind of walk us around the trailer and show us how it works, what the greens look like on a cold February day and cold February evening, and use that as some of the launching point for some of our discussion as we talk with all three of them at the same time. So a great setup, trying something new, and people are responding already, and we hope more people will sign up.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I think you hit the nail on the head by saying it is really fascinating. I personally can barely keep a plant alive. So I'm really excited just to hear this new revolution and how they got started and just learning all about it, because I think it's so fascinating. But speaking of the revolution, why do you think this is such an important topic for people to come here and learn about?
One thing that has been fun for me, and I think for the Sun as a whole, is that when you're covering climate change and you're covering the environment, there's a lot of depressing stories. There's a lot of bad news. There's bad news about ozone. There's bad news about the drought. Bad news about how climate change is affecting wildfires. And this story, in the way that people are learning to grow greens in a different way, using far fewer resources in both land and in water use, and very carefully controlling the chemicals that are used and the additives so that it doesn't have to be very heavy foreign chemical kind of operation. It can be very natural. It's just very encouraging. And so, especially on the water use side of it, when you have greens growing in the air, they're sometimes called hydroponic, sometimes called aeroponic. And we'll get our panelists to explain more about what that means, because I know just enough to be dangerous with it. But they're growing in the air and they're dripping a very small amount of water past the roots instead of flooding them with irrigation water that is harder and harder to come by in Colorado. And it's not only creating that kind of revolution in the environment side, but on the business side as well. You've got all these opportunities, it seems, with the new technology for people to be creating new businesses, to working with local restaurants, to have literally, farm to table, and the farm is right next door inside a building in the middle of the city, and cutting down on transportation costs, cutting down on water use, cutting down on chemical use. And so there seems to be an endless number of possibilities. What Euler's Garden is doing with a community share idea. Some of our listeners are used to the idea of signing up for a box of vegetables in the summer. So every week or every 2 weeks, you get a box of vegetables that are locally grown and that are seasonal. But that tends to end in October after the harvest. And so what this is offering people is a chance to have fresh greens as part of a community share that, were literally cut the day before off the garden wall. And you're sitting down to a locally grown fresh green salad on February 10th or January 15th. Or for your Christmas dinner. And so we'll have Nick explaining more about how that works and whether they've gotten a good response to that idea. But again, it seems like endless possibilities for different businesses and different environmentally friendly things that are going on out there.
Well, great. Yeah, it's going to be really great. I appreciate you bringing these panelists together, and we get to hear really interesting things. And I know I will learn something. So I think our listeners and viewers will get to learn as well.
So, Christina, again, February 9th, 6 p.m., we usually take about an hour. We welcome listeners to add their questions, and we'll explain how the chat stream works on the side so that people do that, or they can email us questions ahead of time. There will obviously be plenty to talk about. But tell our listeners where they should go to sign up and get their free tickets.
Yes. So if our listeners and readers go to coloradosun.com/events, there's a big old picture of our banner on there. They can click it and register for free. We will be recording and streaming this, so it will be available afterwards, but we love for people to join us during so they can send us questions. And to do that, all they have to do is email questions@coloradosun.com. And again, this event is free. It's open to the public, so please register. Again, that was coloradosun.com/events.
Sounds great. And reminder to people that they can also get hear about other panels, and this panel in particular, by signing up for a lot of our newsletters, including The Temperature, which is our Wednesday climate and health newsletter that John Ingold and I produce and do exclusive reporting for, and collate a lot of stories from around the state every week. And so we encourage people to subscribe to that as well.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming and chatting with me, and I hope to see all of our viewers and listeners joining us.
Thanks, Christina. Bring your questions.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great day and a wonderful weekend.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado lawmakers are considering joining other Western states by using artificial intelligence to detect blazes before they burn out of control. A proposal being discussed would create a $2 million pilot program to mount cameras on mountaintops in high-risk locations. An artificial intelligence program developed by a private company would analyze the images and sounds from cameras with 10-mile radiuses in hopes of detecting something that could signal the start of a fire. From there, the information is sent to the company's intelligence center for human vetting. A district court judge would rule by the end of February if the Teller County Sheriff is authorized under Colorado law to work with federal immigration agents to hold people living in the country illegally in jail after they post bond. The 3-day trial ended Thursday in Cripple Creek, where attorneys representing 5 Teller County residents argued that Sheriff Jason Mikesell's agreement with ICE violates state law and the Colorado Constitution. They say it is not essential to the sheriff's mission to preserve peace across the county, which is what he contends. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife Agency is asking for an additional $2.2 million from the state to help cover the costs of promoting its new Keep Colorado Wild Pass. Unless people opt out, the state automatically charges a $29 state parks pass fee for each vehicle registration. It is intended to increase funding for parks, search and rescue teams, and avalanche forecasting. However, CPW has spent more than anticipated on a publicity campaign targeting the public and county clerks who collect the fees. The agency says it needs better customer service to handle refunds without burdening county clerks. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. Before we go, we encourage you to check out a new podcast from our friends at KUNC called The Colorado Dream. Here's a sneak peek.
The new season of The Colorado Dream explores the Black immigrant experience in Aurora. It's told through the eyes of one African woman.
I would sit on the beach and just daydream about coming to America.
And the city of Aurora that's working to become an inclusive home for all.
In the last 20 years, we have a new face of the city.
I'm Stephanie Daniel. Join me for the Colorado Dream Newcomers Welcome. You can find the series at KUNC.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.